From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Washington Watch with Tony Perkins starts now.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you on board. Let me give you the highlights of what we'll be covering today. Earlier today, the House Republicans passed, primarily House Republicans, House passed the National Defense Authorization Act, also known as NDAA. And I'm pleased to report to you that the version that passed the House today includes every pro-life, pro-religious, pro-religious liberty, pro-Israel kind of amendment that FRC advocated for on Capitol Hill. And so we are proud of the congressional representatives that did so, that pushed this important piece of legislation through. But as you can well imagine, that has the radical left upset, to say the least.
The extreme mega Republicans are not interested in governing. They do not care about the health, the safety, the national security, and the economic well-being of the American people. And so they have hijacked the National Defense Authorization Act in order to jam their extreme right-wing ideology down the throats of the American people.
So our ideology is extreme. Mercy. That was House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries earlier today. I'll be talking about the defense funding bill with Utah Congressman Burgess Owens here in just a moment. And leaders from the world's seven wealthiest large democracies started their meetings in Italy yesterday at the annual G7 summit. And given the crisis that is raging throughout the world, why in the world is the Biden administration expending political capital at the summit to push its abortion agenda? Well, I'll be talking about that with Dr. Chris Gasek, Senior Fellow for Regulatory Affairs at the Family Research Council, a little bit later in the program. And of course, this coming Sunday, we all celebrate Father's Day. And I'd like to take a moment right now just to say happy Father's Day and wishing each of you a happy Father's Day, all you dads and granddads in our audience. But given the left's attacks, both on manhood and womanhood, there's no doubt the need for strong Christian fathers has never been greater. I'll be talking about that with Dr. Owen Strand, the senior fellow at FRC Center for Biblical Worldview, as we head into the weekend. And then, of course, we have our weekly worldview discussion. David Clausen, the director of the Center for Biblical Worldview at FRC, is going to be sharing how Christians should respond to yesterday's Supreme Court decision on chemical abortion pills. We'll also discuss the rule of law and how Christians should consider that in light of recent court decisions.
When a Democrat gets convicted of a crime, it's called political retribution. When a Republican gets convicted of a crime, it's called justice. This is the justice system that the American people have seen and come to expect over the course of the past few years. Soviet-style show of trials to persecute political enemies.
Well, that was Republican Congressman Wesley Hunt of Texas during a House Judiciary Committee hearing yesterday. So we've got a lot coming your way. Let me remind you, as always, the website is tonyperkins.com. There is a lot of resources there just for you, so we encourage you to check it out. And let me say this as well before we get into the details of today's program. By way of reminder, I don't have to tell you, but biblical truth is under attack in our culture. And you can help. You can help FRC defend the faith. Right now, we have a very special opportunity, and you can take advantage of FRC's $2.5 million challenge match so that whatever gift you're able to give is literally doubled. This is going to take place from now to the end of the month, June 30th. So join them with us in defending the faith. You can do so by texting the word defend to 67742. That's defend to 67742. All right, now let's jump into the details of today. As I mentioned a while ago, earlier this morning, the House of Representatives passed its version of the National Defense Authorization Act. This is a must-pass annual piece of legislation. It funds the military, and for that reason, it is a must-pass bill. And House Republicans included some amendments to the legislation in order to, quite frankly, course-correct the Biden administration's social experiments on the military. And as I said earlier, I'm glad to report that every amendment that the Family Research Council advocated is included in this House-passed version of the NDA. It included amendments to stop using the military to promote abortion, for example, DEI, the LGBT agenda, as well as amendments to promote religious liberty and to support Israel. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Congressman Burgess Owens. He serves on the House Committee on Education and Workforce, as well as the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Utah. Congressman Owens, always great to see you. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Jody, same here. We miss you, my friend. But we're getting things back together again. We're heading in the right direction, and I'm looking forward to chatting with you about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me just start by saying congratulations, commending you and your Republican colleagues for passing today's NDAA legislation. A lot of great amendments are in that, and frankly, amendments that are correcting the Biden administration's social experiments. Give me your thoughts on it.
Well, you know, we're at a really good point. We're going through some very, very tough years, though, as you know. Years we wonder how in the world we get here. Defund the police. Not knowing the difference between a man and a woman, not supporting our good friends in Israel, open border. And we've gotten to a point where American people figuring out what is the world and what's going on here. Well, what we're recognizing now at this moment here in 2024 is we've been under attack for quite a while. It's called cultural Marxism. And it makes no sense because there is no sense to it. It's this anti-American, anti-American culture, anti-God. And we're now recognizing, and the upside of where we are today, I'm so thankful to be here now, is American people are getting it too. So I'll say this, we get the majority, a bigger majority that we need to govern this coming November. We get the security, we get the Senate and President Trump. And I can tell American people, we're on our way again, my friends. The cavalry's here, and we're gonna start seeing once again what the American dream looks like and getting ourselves back to where we're hopeful and visionary and those kind of things that America's really has always been on the forefront with. So I'm excited about being here to watch this and be part of it. And we're gonna make it work for sure.
Well, we're glad you're there, and it's so encouraging to have a word of hope like that because people are concerned, deeply concerned with what they see taking place. And you just hit it on the head that things can turn around rather quickly. I wanted to play a clip and get your reaction to this. This is House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, and of course he has a different take on the amendments that were passed today. Let me play this clip, clip number two, please, and then get your reaction.
It's time for the extreme MAGA Republicans to abandon the effort to jam their right-wing ideology down the throats of the American people. These Republican amendments that have been attached to the National Defense Authorization Act are completely out of control.
Out of control, radical. Don't you know that's what you are? Give me a reaction to this.
Well, we're at a point now where American people are not listening to these guys anymore. And by the way, just for those who are not aware, I grew up in the Deep South at a time where my race was very competitive. We were very patriotic. We believed in education, believed in the family unit. Faith was everything back in the 60s. That turned upside down because not white supremacists, but black elitists. We have people in this country that know what it is to succeed, but will fight to the death not to let other people know what it is to succeed. And to succeed, it comes down to very one simple thing, is tie in, lean in hard to the American culture, faith, family, the free market, education. That is the Republican Party's mantra. That is exactly what the hard left, the cultural Marxists hate. So just know we're on the right track. The fact that they're upset, they're tossing, lobbing things at us because they're calling us MAGA. Yeah, make America great again is what we should all be wanting for, particularly going through what we're going through right now. So I'm excited the fact that American people are not listening to this party anymore. Look at the numbers with the blacks, Hispanics, the Jewish community. They're waking up like I did 40 years ago. These guys love use misery as a political strategy, and we're so done with that. We're ready to move on and get back to the American dream in the way we've always been to become a more perfect union.
That's awesome. Along with some of this radical stuff that the Biden administration is pushing over and over and over has been the whole Title IX rule. And there was a markup yesterday that included a Congressional Review Act to nullify some of those Title IX rules. And of course, all of this is a disaster when it comes to women's sports and women's private spaces. And in fact, this week, a court dismissed a lawsuit by Leah Thomas when it comes to swimming. And you spoke about this. You've been outspoken about this. In fact, you've said that all these Title IX rules basically teach our boys that harming girls is no big deal. That is a massively powerful statement. So give me your reaction to the Leah Thomas situation and the whole Title IX rule as a whole.
I understand, and we all know this. Those who watch this program understand the family unit is the core of our culture, and it's the roles we take. Manhood is a very, very big piece of that. I grew up at a time where men were taught to be men. We were taught very simply to learn to love God, country, family, respect women and authority. If you could not respect women and authority, you were not looked at as a true man. So, yes, we see things like this. Their attack is on womanhood, no question. But the most devious attack is on manhood, where men will watch our women being attacked. They'll take pictures and videos of women being attacked and not take an active part. Stand on the sideline and cheer men beating out women or girls or boys beating out girls. This is the most devious attack on manhood because these are not true men anymore. We lose that idea that we're there to sacrifice everything. We're there to lead out and lean in to make sure we're providing, protecting, being a great example for our kids. If we lose that ability, then we will lose our culture because we'll lose our families. And we all have a part. We all play a role. Manhood's role is to sacrifice everything, his life, if he needs to, for his wife and to his kids, and to be a great example so his name is one that their family wants to hold on to, will pass on to for legacy as legs from one generation to the next. We lose those kind of men, which is what's happened. Unfortunately, I've seen that happen in my community, and the Black community is finally saying enough of this. Men, particularly the Black men, are saying, we're so sick of this, we're going to vote for Trump, because Trump is telling us how it really is to be respected, looked at, and look in the mirror and realize with somebody looking back that you can be proud of. So it is an attack on womanhood, but the most devious part is that when men do not stand up for womanhood, they give up any rights to be called men.
Extremely well said, Congressman. Listen, we've got literally less than a minute, about 45 seconds, but the Biden administration has been transporting a large surge of immigrants to Salt Lake City. Your thoughts real quickly.
Well, it's devious. And I'll say to the mayor of Denver, it's devious. These are sanctuary cities. They say they welcome open arms, and then they send it to places like Utah, which are not sanctuary. They don't mind dropping these people off. They do not care what happens to these girls, these women, and these women and children. It's devious, and we're going to hold these people accountable. I'm looking forward to putting together some kind of legislation to talk about trafficking, because that's what the Denver mayor is doing right now, trafficking humans to other places because they do not care about their survival or what the next steps are for them to move forward.
Congressman Burgess Owens, always great to see you, my friend. Thank you so much for coming on Washington Watch. Look forward to having you. Keep the torch ablaze. Happy Father's Day to you.
All right. Same to you. You take care.
Thank you. All right. Coming up, the Biden administration has used the annual G7 summit to promote abortion. All of this is just reminding us yet again how central abortion is to President Biden's entire reelection campaign. We'll be discussing more of this after the break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable Word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone, too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, sagecon, to learn more. That's sagecon, sagecon, to learn more.
Hi, I'm Georgina, an intern here at Family Research Council, and I wanted to take a moment to tell you about FRC's incredible internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and a development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. This program features hands-on professional experience here in Washington, D.C., weekly biblical worldview training, tours around the district, opportunities to meet some of the country's most prominent policy experts, and more. The program also includes free housing, a meal stipend, and is available in spring, summer, and fall. If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, as a current intern, I cannot recommend this program enough. For more information or to apply, please go to frc.org/internships. Again, that's frc.org/internships. Apply today.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Washington Watch. Again, I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss. Glad to have you on board with us. All right, yesterday, leaders of the world's wealthiest large democracies descended in Italy for the annual G7 summit with its focus on economic issues and international policies. But even as war rages in Europe and in the Middle East and China continues to make inroads throughout the global South, the Biden administration has focused this summit on literally a behind-the-scenes battle to promote its commitment to abortion. This pattern has been evident ever since President Biden took office in 2021, with the Biden administration pushing its abortion policies on other countries at every opportunity. Well, the question is, what damaging real-world consequences does all of this have on our allies and our adversaries? Well, joining me now in studio to discuss this is Dr. Chris Gasek, Senior Fellow for Regulatory Affairs at the Family Research Council. Dr. Gasek, always good to see you, my friend.
It's good
Welcome to
see you,
Washington
too,
Watch. All right. So, look, here we go. We have war in Israel. We have Ukraine. We got China. We have global inflation. We have a host of problems. And according to reports, world leaders are negotiating on a statement on abortion that the Biden administration wanted, going in at 2 a.m., by the way. How does any of this make sense?
Well, you know something that's really interesting? Normal human beings don't go and look at G7 communiques. I think that's a fair statement, right? And
I would agree with you.
They're 60 pages long. I mean, I know this because I actually went and found one and downloaded it so that I could search through it. And what's interesting about this, it seems to me, is that what happened here that caused the fight wasn't so much that there was a big change from year to year. There was a comprehensive statement about sexuality and you know, rights and these kinds of issues in the G7 meeting that happened in Japan a year ago. What happened here, though, was that Italy has a new prime minister, Giorgia Meloni, and she fought to keep the really bad language, including the word abortion, out of this text, right? So Macron and all of these guys, the French leader, apparently they got into this huge kind of tussle that lasted until 2 a.m. But In the end, the United States accepted this, you know, this kind of verbiage and referenced this 2023 document that had the term comprehensive sexual health and rights or something like that. But the term is comprehensive and sexual. And what's interesting here is that the scope of the international bureaucracy behind these organizations. Kind of reminds me when Travis Weber was talking about Geneva, you know, and he went there and a couple weeks ago, and you had all these, you know, these huge bureaucracies, and they have these sort of they're on autopilot. They're kind of writing about these big concepts of, you know, sort of comprehensive sexuality, universal health care, centralization of power in areas that we would object to. So I think the Biden administration were probably furious because, remember, so one of the big themes of the administration is, you know, that the Dobbs decision is horrible, and that therefore they're fighting and you know, they're going to make this case that they're on the side of women and abortion rights. So in a way, it was almost embarrassing that they weren't able to sort of pull off having abortion in there. So it's hard to know the exact dynamic of it because all of the language that is, you know, they say that they got what they wanted, but there was a big fight, and they were fighting apparently until 2 a.m, and there are more important things to be doing, right?
Certainly is. Well, you know, as some are saying, and I don't want to belabor this, but there's a lot of people out there saying that for the administration to be fighting for abortion at the G7 summit, which is about a whole lot of other more important things or other issues that they're facing in the world, that it's really about his election strategy more than it is international diplomacy. Is that a fair assessment?
I think there are two things going on. One is the sort of the baseline ideology of the United States government in all of the bureaucracies, but of all these other governments too, except for apparently one leader, and that's the Italian leader. So it shows you how bad the situation is in terms of these value issues that we care about across the globe, so that you get these 60-page documents coming out of these things, and they represent sort of a consensus of what these people are about. And going back to Travis, you know, it was this, it's sort of the blob, the UN speak social development goals. But at the same time, they're trying to get, you know, Biden administration, they're trying to use all this this radical agenda as a way to, you know, say, hey, this is the one thing we're doing right. We're getting abortion right in the international context, and we're promoting it to our base. I think that's correct.
Yeah, and obviously they're not getting it right, but they are apparently appealing to their base.
Right.
So here we are at an international summit. So many issues facing the entire world, war after war after war. And the Biden administration seemingly taking its eyes off the ball to focus on abortion. How does this hinder other American diplomatic efforts?
Well, I mean, anytime you don't look at the things that you're supposed to be looking at, you're going to have, you know, you're not spending your time on important issues. One of the things I have to say, though, is these guys are so bad on everything that it's almost like you wonder what could they look at that they wouldn't mess up. I mean, I hate to be, you know, that critical, but they're terrible on Gaza and Israel. Their economic policies are a disaster internationally. The dollar is crashing. So, you know, at least one of the things that they could be doing is trying to, you know, alleviate problems related to, you know, the proliferation of weapons and these sorts of things in the Middle East. But they're all about promoting Iran and making Iran a regional hegemon or, you know, the leader in the area to such an extent that Israel's security is threatened and Saudi Arabia is pulling away from us in terms of supporting the dollar. This administration is so terrible, you kind of don't know what they could focus on that wouldn't be disastrous.
Yeah, and it just, sorry, our time's out, but it just seems like they are either unable to prioritize that which is really important globally, or this is the only thing that to them is important. Thank you, Dr. Chris Gasek. Always great to see you. Happy Father's Day weekend to you.
Thank you.
All right, friends, after the break, with Father's Day approaching, Dr. Owen Strand will be joining me to discuss the need for strong Christian fathers. You don't want to miss it. Coming up right after the break.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, and thank you so much for joining us. All right, we celebrate Father's Day this Sunday, which, of course, is an opportunity to honor men for their devotion to their families. And, of course, throughout history, it's been well established, the intrinsic role of a man as a provider and protector. And, of course, this goes all the way back to God's call to Adam to keep and to protect in the Garden of Eden. But the left continues to challenge this God-wired desire that men have to provide and to protect. And the left labels it as toxic masculinity. Well, given all that's going on, the assault, not only on the family, but as I mentioned earlier, the assault on women and women's private spaces, the need for strong fathers, let's face it, it's never been greater than right now. Well, joining me now to discuss this is Dr. Owen Strand. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Biblical Worldview at FRC and the provost and research professor of theology at Grace Bible Theological Seminary. He's also the president of the Council on Biblical Manhood and Womanhood and the author of many books, including The War on Men. Owen, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always an honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Jody. Great to be back with you today.
All right. So you covered this ground effectively throughout the book, The War on Men. But talk about the labeling of this whole masculinity as being toxic. And how should Christian men respond to this?
Well, let's just rebrand Father's Day as Happy Toxic Masculinity Day, Jody. I mean, that's how our culture would encourage. They'd encourage us to think. I'm not being serious, but honestly, if men are strong today, if men are assertive and aggressive, even for good purposes, men are going to be called toxic. And that's just a reality today. The air we breathe is feminist air in many respects. And so Christians have to go back to basics, like you talked about a minute ago. And we have to realize, yes, we're going to get censured for praising men and honoring men. But God's word ennobles men. It doesn't say men that they are idiots or goofballs. It doesn't say to men that they're worse than women. God's word teaches us that both men and women are made in the image of God, and the man is actually made first before the woman, which the Apostle Paul teaches in 1 Timothy 2, means that he has headship and he has responsibility in the local church for the whole body. He's called to be a pastor, shepherd, and teacher of the flock. So we want to honor men, Jody, and just doing that in 2024 is revolutionary.
It really is. Yeah, I don't know if you were able to hear, but Congressman Burgess Owens was on with me a little earlier, and among other things, we talked briefly about this. He's been very strong on this issue. But when considering the attack on women's sports and women's spaces, I'd like to ask you a question I ask him. What should the role of men be? How should they respond to all of this attack against womanhood?
Yeah, first and foremost, one great thing for men to do is not go into women's restrooms. That would be a really excellent thing for a lot of men.
Yeah,
that's a good one. And so we sadly have a lot of men who are doing that. You know, William Thomas, who's now named himself Leah Thomas, but is a man. He challenged the Olympics and their decision to not let him and other men identifying as women or whatever they identify as to swim in women's sports. And apparently, as of late, he did not succeed in that challenge. And so we're so thankful that there is sanity yet in our world, and that William Thomas is not allowed to swim there. But we've got to recognize, Jody, that this is what society needs right now. Society needs all sorts of adults, and a lot of them are Christian, a lot of them aren't Christian. But we need people who are going to live by sanity and common sense, and especially God's design. And they're going to say no to the gender ideology that is ruling things and that is teaching men today that they can enter women's spaces if they feel like they have the gender identity of a woman. What we need to say very clearly in love and compassion for sinners, including sinners who are very confused about their body, is that your body is not lying to you, and so you should not sin against God and man by transgressing that reality. You should instead embrace the gift of your body and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's the way you're going to flourish, not when you lean into lies.
Well said. All right. Our time is slipping away from us. But real quickly, talk to us about the impact of fathers, the impact that they can have in the home, and I guess conversely, the impact of the absence of a father.
A father and mother are both so essential to a child's well-being as made by God, as designed by God. But you think about that cornerstone role of father, the one from whom every family on earth is named after the Heavenly Father. And you recognize that men as fathers are absolutely vital to the spiritual good and the good of children in every single capacity. Every man, every father is fallen in Adam, and every father and every man needs the gospel of grace. And we fathers, we fail, and we have our ups and our downs, our strengths and our weaknesses. But fundamentally, we've got to stay in the game. We need an army of men today who love their wife, love their kids, love their community, and love their church, and serve all of that. The encouraging thing, Jody, is we don't really need a lot of fancy, spectacular men. It's a good thing. What we need are a lot of normal, stable, steady, God-centered men. And if you give us an army of those, I like our odds come what may.
Absolutely. In a matter of 10 seconds, tell us, where can people get a copy of your book?
They can just search The War on Men. I appreciate the question online, and they'll get it at Amazon and elsewhere. The War on Men is the book that we've talked about briefly here. And though men are under fire, I believe that we can lift the head of men and see new days dawn in our time.
Thank you, Dr. Owen Strand. Always great to have you on Washington Watch. Happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you.
All right, friends, after the break, David Clawson will be joining me for our weekly worldview discussion. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after the break.
The news reflects the world we live in, but it also shapes it. Like it or not, what we learn about the world on a daily basis impacts our thinking, our worldview, and ultimately our action. So much of today's media is built on a shaky foundation that can send us hurling toward harmful ideas and hopeless solutions. Family Research Council created the Washington Stand to be a news outlet that speaks from a firm foundation, bringing you news, commentary, and analysis of what's happening in America and around the world. The Washington Stand is unapologetically biblical and uncompromisingly committed to truth. Equip yourself for the world we live in with a biblical worldview found daily at the Washington Stand. Find us at WashingtonStand.com. That's WashingtonStand.com.
America was a bright light until the culture gave into darkness. But we won't. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, between right and wrong, between truth and lies. At a time when the mainstream media is blocking Americans from truth, millions are searching for a source of trustworthy news that shines a light in the darkness. At this time of great need, FRC is lighting the way forward. For 40 years, Family Research Council and its partners have stood together to advance and defend biblical truth in government and culture. Between our flagship broadcast program, Washington Watch, with Tony Perkins, to our news outlet, The Washington Stand, FRC is providing believers across the country with news they can trust from a biblical worldview. When you stand with FRC, you help light the way forward for America and the next generation. Go to frc.org/give.
If you're a young adult passionate about seeing biblical values championed in our country, check out Family Research Council's internship program. This three-month program is both a discipleship and development opportunity where you get to take part in truly meaningful work and help advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and our culture. Featuring hands-on experience, biblical worldview training, free housing, and more, this internship is a great opportunity for spiritual and professional development. Check out frc.org/internships to apply today.
As a congressman, Jody Heiss witnessed firsthand how the gradual erosion of congressional integrity has crippled America's faith in its most essential institutions. His newly released book, Sacred Trust, Election Integrity, and the Will of the People, sounds the alarm on the attempts of career bureaucrats to subvert our elections and provide solutions to make every vote count. Help preserve election integrity and order Sacred Trust today wherever books are sold.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your Friday host, Jody Heiss, and always an honor to be with you. All right, just a reminder, you can download the new Stand Firm app today. You've heard about it. It is an incredibly powerful tool that you are absolutely going to love. You can get the latest news. You can connect with fellow believers. You can engage with government officials nationwide. So we encourage you to get it. And by the way, when you get it, be sure to leave a 5-star rating also. We're trying to achieve our goal as being ranked among the top 10 news sources nationwide. But it's available for download on Apple or Android devices. Wherever you get your apps, you can download it. And you can also just simply text APP, text the word APP to 67742, and it will directly get that app for you. You're going to love it. So we encourage you to take advantage of Stand Firm. All right. Yesterday, as you probably know by now, the Supreme Court announced that the pro-life doctors who sued the FDA over its approval of the abortion pill mifepristone, the Supreme Court said they lacked standing for their claim, which in essence means that the abortion pill is going to continue to be widely available throughout the United States. And of course, for those of us who support life, this decision is extremely disappointing. As you may not be aware of, but the chemical abortions now account for more than 60% of abortions. So this is a big deal. And so here now in our weekly worldview discussion, I'd like to consider how Christians should think about the outcome of this case and specifically about chemical abortion. And joining me now to discuss this is David Clawson. He's the director of the Center for Biblical Worldview here at the Family Research Council. David, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to have you.
Hey, joy to be with you again, Jody.
All right, listen, I want to get into the Supreme Court case, but before we do so, I know that earlier this week you spoke at an event as part of the Southern Baptist Convention meeting. Dr. Albert Mohler was also there. He spoke. Even President Trump delivered a message to somewhere in the ballpark of 1,000 or so pastors who were there. But can you tell us about the event and what you were able to share with the group?
Yeah, absolutely. So the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention was earlier this week on Tuesday and Wednesday. The day before the official kind of undertaking of the event happened, Jody, there was a meeting on Monday hosted by the Danbury Institute. This is a new group led by Scott and Sharia Coulter that is really shining a spotlight on the life issue and religious freedom. And really neat, exciting new undertaking. And this event on Monday was a three-hour event. You mentioned President Trump spoke virtually. You had Dr. Al Mohler. You had Liberty University was there with Ryan Heffelbein. You had Tom Askell from Founders Ministry. So a lot of really great speakers that were able to encourage about 1,000 pastors. And I spoke on a pro-life panel. And just briefly, Jody, I shared mainly some research that Family Research Council commissioned with George Barna on what regular churchgoers actually believe on the life issue. I shared some, you know, you don't want to scare everybody, but I shared kind of what this data shows, that in fact, a lot of regular churchgoers are actually kind of confused when it comes to the life issue. I shared the statistic that shows that, you know, only 44% of regular churchgoers heard a sermon that dealt with the abortion issue in the year after Roe v. Wade was overturned. I shared that it was about 63% of those who go to church actually identify as pro-life. About one out of four actually identify as pro-choice. So, you know, I want to be a hopeful messenger, but I think to be able to kind of help our churches think well about these, we need to know where we stand. So that was kind of my main message to the group, Jody, is just helping us understand the state of our church and the state of culture when it comes to the life issue.
And that is a perfect segue into the next question that I want to get into, dealing with the Supreme Court decision yesterday. But the bottom line of everything we're talking about, in fact, this is why we have chosen to bring this worldview segment on every Friday, is we have to not just hear the news and not just go to church on the weekends, but we have to incorporate a biblical worldview into our lives and into the way we see the news and how we interpret it. So taking that, let's jump into some of these issues. The Supreme Court decision yesterday on this chemical abortion case, you just spoke to these 1,000 or so pastors about the lack of preaching, lack of biblical teaching. So hopefully that will spark some to do so. But how should Christians think about the outcome of this case? And specifically, how should Christians think about chemical abortion?
Yeah, wonderful question, Jody. I think we should be both disappointed, but not too disappointed, because we need to realize the Supreme Court actually did not rule on the merits. So this case was brought by a group of pro-life doctors, and they were asking the Supreme Court to look at chemical abortion pills. It was under the FDA, under the Clinton administration, all the way back in 2000, is when a very politicized process resulted in these pills being brought to market. And since these pills have been, these drugs, we should really call them abortion drugs, since they've been available, Jody, it was first in 2016 under the Obama administration that they started walking back some of the guardrails. And then under the Biden administration, they've really walked back the guide rails. Initially, when the FDA approved chemical abortion drugs, you had to go make sure that the woman who was getting these pills had to go see a doctor in person three times. Well, using kind of COVID as a guise, the Biden administration completely scrapped any requirement, Jody, that a woman getting these pills even has to see a doctor. And that's so important because, you know, a doctor can identify an ectopic pregnancy and things like that. The FDA has to put this on the mifepristone box. One in 25 women who take these pills end up in the emergency room. So these are dangerous pills, Jody. As you said in your intro, 60% of abortions in this country now come through chemical abortion. So it's a really critical issue. The Supreme Court earlier this week, they basically said the doctors didn't have standing. They couldn't prove that there was any harm done to them. And so, but thankfully, there are other cases in the works. And Lord willing, soon, we'll have other courts that'll look at this and actually look at the merits of the case. And when you look at the merits of the case, our prayer needs to be, Jody, that courts will realize these pills are obviously dangerous for the unborn child, but they're also dangerous for the mother as well.
Yeah, great point. And I likewise share your instruction there not to be discouraged with this, because this did not deal with the merits of the case, which will eventually work its way back up. I think it's so important that we all understand this literally a new frontier. Yes. With abortion, this whole chemical abortion thing. It's the new way of doing it. And it's interesting to me that you made the distinction that this is a drug, and it needs to be kept in that. Democrats are calling it medication, as if somehow you're sick if you're pregnant. They're calling it a medication abortion. I'd like to play a little clip for you from Vice President Kamala Harris and her reaction to the ruling yesterday, and get your reaction to her comments.
This ruling is not going to change the fact that Trump's allies have a plan that, if all else fails, to eliminate medication abortion through executive action.
All right. Medication abortion. Tell me your thoughts on this.
Well, it's insane, Jody. A medication is something that treats an illness or a disease. Let me just be really clear. Pregnancy is not a disease. But what's actually ironic, when these pills, mifepristone, was approved back in 2000, the expedited process that the FDA had to use, they actually had to categorize pregnancy as a disease, which, of course, we know any sane person will admit, of course, pregnancy is not a disease. And so these pills are dangerous. They're abortion drugs. They're now completely unregulated. And I think it's important to underscore one thing, Jody. You know, we all celebrated, and rightfully so, God's mercy towards us in Roe v. Wade being overturned. But we need to realize, and thankfully states, many states, have aggressively passed legislation to eliminate surgical abortion in many states. However, chemical abortion drugs, Jody, are still available in all 50 states. You can request these pills through the mail. The Biden administration is saying that that is not against the law, even though I would argue that it is against the law under the Comstock Act. But we need to realize this really is the new frontier. And those of us who are policymakers and just Christians looking at this, we need to focus on these, because it really is the new frontier. And our efforts and our prayers need to be really looking at this serious issue.
We really do. All right. I want to switch gears for you. But anything else that you would say to Christians before we transition to another topic here on the issue of life, the need to understand life? Anything else you want to add here?
Yeah, very briefly. Of course, abortion is a political issue, Jody, but for those of us who follow Jesus, we need to say first and foremost, this is a theological, this is a biblical, this is a moral issue. And Jody, I've said this before, but it bears repeating every time I'm on the program. We don't have to guess what God's view is on this issue. There's a thus saith the Lord. We have Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. We have Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. There's a lot of issues we can debate in the public square that, you know, good-meaning people can agree to disagree on certain aspects. On the life issue, Jody, there's a thus saith the Lord. We know what God thinks. And if we know what God thinks on an issue, we need to be on his side.
And Christians need to take that. That this is what God says. All right, if I can, I got several other things I want to toss out here to you. But one thing that actually came up also this week at the Southern Baptist, they passed a resolution on religious liberty. Why don't we start there? What did the resolution say? Why do you think it is important, or is it?
Oh, I think it is important. I have a copy of the resolution right in front of me. And, you know, ever since the Southern Baptist Convention was founded, which it now is the largest Protestant denomination, Baptists have always stressed the importance of the conscience and the importance of religious freedom. Baptists have always opposed a state church. They learned that the hard way in the early colonial period when you had state churches and Baptists were kind of relegated to the outskirts and weren't allowed to actually officially preach or obtain licenses to preach. And so Baptists have always said that the ideal situation is a free church in a free state. And this is not breaking news that Southern Baptist would come out with a strong support for religious freedom. This is in our very DNA, Jody. But I think in the age that we live in, where there's assaults on religious freedom, there's assaults on our ability to live our lives according to the dictates of our conscience. I think it is important for the Southern Baptist Convention, which does receive a lot of outsized media attention, to draw just a very clear line in the sand that when it comes to religious freedom, this is our first freedom for a reason. There's reasons given in the scripture. We don't believe that anyone can coerce anyone to actually believe theological viewpoints. We want to leave a public square to allow the Holy Spirit to do the work that only He can do. And so I'm grateful for this statement, just reaffirming what Baptists in this country have always believed.
And not just Baptists. Americans as a whole have embraced this understanding of religious liberty, and now we understand it's under assault. So this is something now more than ever we have to stand for. All right, last topic I want to throw out here to you. We've all watched the news this past week, Hunter Biden being convicted. Now we have Hunter Biden on the one side, we have President Trump's conviction on the other side a couple of weeks ago, and the rule of law has now become a topic of great conversation. So let me just put this out here to you. How should a Christian think, generally speaking, I guess let's start there, about the rule of law?
Yeah, Jody, Christians are those who affirm the rule of law. And so when we speak of the rule of law or the rule of laws, that's different than the rule of an individual or of a tyrant or of a despot. When we speak of the rule of law, we're saying that there's a set of laws that governs how a society can function. And when you have a rule of law, that protects you from two things. It protects you from tyranny, and it protects you from anarchy. Now, Jody, as Christians, we believe that there is a moral law that is embedded in the cosmos, that's just part of the creation order, and that human law ought to reflect that moral law that is put in creation. And Christians even furthermore say that God Himself ordains government. Romans 13 makes this clear. Government is not something that we resent. It's not something that we think is bad. Government is ordained by God. And in this country, the ultimate government is the Constitution that lays out due process, separation of powers. So when we think of the rule of law, this is a good thing. And when we see it corrupted, as many commentators have looked, kind of, Jody, what happened in the trial with President Trump, with very politicized DA and these novel legal theories, that undermines our confidence in the rule of law. And so I think it's something that Christians should care about deeply.
Absolutely. Well, David, it's always great to have you on the program. I'm so grateful for your leadership in the space of biblical worldview here at FRC and beyond. Real quickly, tons of resources for people to take advantage of, by the way. Is there anything coming up on the horizon? Tell people where they can find resources, and real quickly, in about 30 seconds, what you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm thrilled that we do have a lot of resources. You can find these at frc.org/worldview. You have our Biblical Worldview series that kind of applies scripture to issues of life, religious freedom, sexuality, what a worldview is. In the coming months, we're going to have a children's curriculum that's coming out, Jody. And the final edits are being put on a book that I've written on how to think biblically and theologically about the abortion issue. So frc.org/worldview, a place that I hope everyone checks out, because there's some good resources on there.
Great resources there. And I knew you had a book coming out. I wanted to kind of give you a little, put it up on the tee for you in a little anticipation when this coming. Well, David Clausen, always an honor to have you. Happy Father's Day weekend to you as well. All right, friends, that wraps up another week of Washington Watch. I want to just express my gratitude to each of you for tuning in. May we all thank God for our true Father's Day, our provider, the one who loves us, who cares for us, protects us. And to each of you fathers, happy Father's Day to you. God bless you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.